Let me exhale. Amen. Sam came to me 3 weeks ago in a meeting at 14th and V and said, "Sharon, I need to talk to you after the meeting." And I didn't know what it was going to be. And he asked me to lead this meeting. I said, "I can't do it." But I told him yes. And my committee took off. I called my sponsor, and she simply asked me, "Did you use drugs?" I couldn't lie, and I said yes. So she said, "You can do it." Once again, the committee took off. And it's just my thinking. And I've come to understand that when my thinking takes off, then I become unmanageable mentally. And that means that I have to do something, whether it be pray, cut everything off, call my sponsor and keep talking to her and listening to her so she can encourage me that I can do this. Because my self-esteem and my fear says, you can't do this. Once again, that's my committee. Addiction is such a cunning enemy of life. It does not want me to be responsible for my recovery. It's easy to say quit. It's easy to say pick up the phone and call Sam and say, "I decline." But today, I know in my heart and in my soul that it's God's will for me to be standing here to bring the message of recovery. Had I not worked the steps and admitted that I was an addict, this wouldn't be possible. Had I not taken the suggestion to clean house, but at first I thought you all meant clean my home, you know, that kind of house. And you said, "No, it's an inside job." Because there was going to come a time when you were going to have a God of your understanding. There was going to come a time when your committee was going to tell you it's easier to use than to face a storm. That's just my thinking. I know I have a threefold disease. I know that in my life there's going to be storms, and most of them is going to be as a result of how I think and what I feel. Because for so long I used to the feeling. I didn't want to feel what joy is. I didn't want to feel what life had to offer. I didn't want to be responsible. And those are the things I cut myself off when I use drugs. So today, when the storm comes, I do trust that when I work the steps and I come to believe in that power, that I can face any storm. I may not think like that at the moment, but it's something I have to do. Because simply, if I don't use, that I can get through anything. I wanted to define and clarify what a storm is, but I don't know what your storm may be. I don't know that your committee may take off like mine does, but I do know that addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that it doesn't want you to live. And I know that whether the storm be you face losing a loved one, because I've been there, and I've gone to meetings and heard people share that they were angry and mad that God took their loved one, but they also said they didn't use. That's what I listen for. I learned to come to meetings to listen, to learn how to live. And I do trust in this process. It is now 10 years later. I've gone to meetings and heard people say, in 10 years, you're going to face the acid test. Our literature tells us that the acid test will come. But we also have some tools that we have to use. We must use. I know I have because I've started the process. If I quit now, I won't be able to face the storm. that trust level has to increase, because when you all are not there, I have to rely on the God of my understanding, who will in turn send someone to help me through the storm. If I'm open and honest about what it really is, not a whole lot going on in my life, but life situations. So sometimes life is not easy. But after I've gone through the darkness, there's light. I love to pray. I've been here since Wednesday. I have meditated. I have walked on the beach. I've done some writing. I've cut everything off. I've burned my candles. And if anybody knows me, that's just a part of me. And what I have received is peace. That's abnormal to me, because I knew chaos and confusion. I still know it. But today I'm able to decipher the chaos and confusion. Today I'm able to listen if somebody's going through. Once again, the committee, which is my thinking, took off. Don't trust God. Don't trust recovery. Don't trust the people. But that's not real, because for 10 years this has been working. So now I got to take it to another level. I watch people with 12 years, 15 years, 17 years. I want that. And it's something I got to do. I got to keep trusting. 3 weeks ago, my committee, once again, don't trust, and God's going to take it to another level and make a way. My son is going to enter into another school. And this is life stuff, you know. And the tuition is going to jump like $16,000. Instead of praying, I got up in my head about what other business I'm going to start. I don't mean tricking. I mean a legitimate business. How I'm going to get my car to start my business, because I want a limousine business, but I got to work for it. It's still a process. How many clients I'm going to get, and how much money I'm going to get to pay for this tuition. But what I did was, I didn't trust. Had a meeting the following day with the foundation, and the part of the foundation that my sons attend. And they're going to take care of half of that bill. You all say trust. I made it a storm. I swear I made it a storm in my mind. It was bigger than me. It was bigger than life. But what happened was my thinking took off. Because I know that it's my responsibility to be a parent and trust one more time that if I help somebody else, God will fix this. You know, it amazes me sometimes that every time I trust in God and when I help someone else, He fixes this area of my life. Sharon, don't worry about that. You know, if I feel pain, I grow from pain. You know, I'm not in pain right now, but I have experienced it. And it's for my growth. It's for spiritual growth. Because this is a spiritual program and a spiritual way of living. You know, I've come to convention since 1990. And I've trusted that each time I come, I will learn something new. I will take something back. Whether it's negative or positive. You know, I want to say it's all about me, but one more time, and I heard Paul share this in a meeting 2 weeks ago, that my recovery must have depth. You know, so that means I have to come from here. Like Sam says, whatever my fear is, I have to face it. I want to call this a storm. This ain't no storm. In recovery, we call storms losing your house, losing your car, losing your job. That's not a storm. What about if you lose your spirituality? You know, for a minute in your mind, because a disease is such a cunning enemy of life. Does not want you to live, does not want you to love another human being. you know, once you get in your own regimen, you know, mentally, even clean, my mind can take off. Because I've never experienced being clean and the power of God not wanting me to use. I've thought about it. I've thought about using because I'm an addict. I'm not in denial about that. Then I had to share some resentments, some anger, some things from the past. You have to let somebody know who you are. Then you got to take it to God in all honesty. I mean, the secrets. Everybody doesn't have to know, but in order to have that depth, you got to clean house. And from here, you know, the things that happened when you were born, the things that happened in adolescence, the things that happened in the dark that will come out in the light. And then I have to feel what it is I feel after I take that step, if anybody knows what I'm talking about. 4 and 5, you're going to have to share with somebody. 6 and 7, asking God to remove those shortcomings. And he'll do it in time. 10, 11, and 12, I skipped over one, but that's the maintenance. And that meditation, I have to constantly keep a conscious contact. I get off the beam, but when I come here, I want to say I get an overdose of life. One more time. I get strength. I don't know if anybody else is practicing it. You know, I don't know if anybody else has cut everything off. But I dare you to try. I dare you to try. What I have to give back. Sometimes I don't want to do step work with my sponsee. But they want to do step work. And the only way they're going to do that is they sit down with a sponsor and let them get their own meaning and their own understanding. And what happens is you clear the mind. God gave me the breath of life today so that whatever the storm is, I don't make excuses to run. I don't make excuses to use. Because I can make some excuses. You know, and it really won't be a reality. It'll be all in my head. I'll think that I don't have to go on in this process, but I know I do. I can't project, but I have. But I trust if I keep that conscious contact and I help somebody else with no strings attached and my own agenda, then I'll be able to face the storm. The trust level will build. It doesn't come overnight. So I have to increase what it is I do on a daily basis. I'm not perfect. You already know that. And I'm glad I'm not perfect. But the program has a perfect answer to anything I want to get through. The steps are the program. I said, I'm not going to come in here and talk about the steps. But that's a part of my life today. That's real for me. I want to stop working them, but that's not real. I can't grow spiritually if I stop working them. You know, when I honestly open up to another human being, I get the help. Trust level builds. Whatever the storm is, if you're in one, you can come out of it. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is not right now. Sometimes the answer is wait. It's deep. And I was going to bring the literature, but it says when we surrender to our addiction, we overcome a helpless and hopeless state of mind, body, and spirit. I'm scared to use. I haven't forgot what using is. I see it. I remember it. I don't romance it because my disease is such a cunning enemy of life. It's doing push-ups. But recovery has a lot more strength if I really want to stay on this path. I don't want to, let me go back. I don't want to blur the clarity statement. I got up in my head about that. because I like the other fellowship too. I go there, you know. But I know that I'm an addict, and I know that God loves me just like He loves you all. We all are miracles. I didn't hear anybody say they had a car accident on the way. I did hear someone say they got a ticket because they were speeding. And that's a power greater than oneself because they have the authority. But I see a lot of love. I see a lot of happy faces. I see a lot of sad faces. But it's okay. This is the right place. Recovery takes time. Trusting in recovery to keep going on no matter what happens, it works. It does work. I'm living proof, and so are you all. I don't want to just limit it to me because I get help from people in recovery. I don't know. I just can't say that I'm not going to share with nobody. It don't have to be because I'm on fire. I might just have a deep conversation. You know, I might just get real open. Right, Vincent? But I get my help when I do trust. I can't say that trust is an issue. It's not an issue because I trusted what I was using. So why not trust what the program has to offer? Why not trust that service will get me out of my way? Why not trust that helping a newcomer, giving a newcomer a hug, or just listening will work? You know, I do trust. It's in me. Everything I need is inside of me. Patrice said it last night. You know, but I just got to go and dig for it. Sometimes I don't want to open my heart up and be vulnerable. That's why. That's trust, letting somebody in your life. Once again, maybe after you've gone through a storm, let me say in relationship. Love is not blind. Love might hurt. But once you recover from it, you got to open up again and love somebody. I'm in love, but that person's not my God. I got to keep a perspective because I'll lose it. You know, and when I know when to back off. You know, that person's with God too. They have a God. And they use their God, you know. They're not perfect. They're in recovery. I'm glad to be here. I kept asking Sam, where's Paul? Where's Paul? Is Paul here? You know, and I just trusted that if somebody else was up here, that I was going to be okay. So I hope you all got something out of this. Trusting when there is a storm. You know, identify what a storm is to you. And that's okay. And if you get through it without using, then you trust. Whether you can see the power, because you're going to call God. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, why is this happening? You know, God is always there, bigger than life, created everything. Big old ocean, big old bay out there. You know, Daryl told me yesterday, take your low self-esteem and dump it in the ocean. But it wasn't low self-esteem, it was fear. It was my fear. You know, and I never felt the fear without using. But it's okay. It's okay to feel it and move on. So I love you all, and trust in the process, and trust when there is a storm.
Thank you, Sharon. And before I introduce our second speaker, there's a good friend of mine who is celebrating an anniversary today, and I would like to ask him to come up and pick up a chip. Leon, can you come pick your chip up? It's an X, it's a 1 and a 4, B, so that's 14 years. It says that no addict seeking recovery need ever die. My gratitude speaks when I care and when I share with others. Anyway, I hope I said it right. Okay. Now I would like to introduce our second speaker, Paul.
My name is Paul, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Paul.
And I'd like to give all praise and glory to my high power, who I choose to call God. And if I don't use this evening, tomorrow it'll be 12 years for me. And you ask me, do I trust in the storm?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. And I'm one of those addicts that I didn't hurt for anything, you know. I come from one of those families, you know, those families centrally located in the heart of Washington, D.C., where for generations there were addicts that weren't addicts, you know. My grandfather was an addict. And a lot of my other family members were addicts. And one of my role models, one of my cousins, he used to do this thing, right? And I was a little kid, and I would watch him. You know, he was my role model. This guy would nod and nod and nod and never touch the floor. And I would look at this guy and say, damn, he feels good. I want to feel just like he feels. And what I like to say is, I chased a daydream and I ended up in a nightmare. And that was a long time ago. See, I don't have a few 24 hours. I got a lot of 24 hours, you know. And in between that thing, you know. And that's what my sponsor calls it, that thing. See, that thing kept me from my family. That thing kept me from work. That thing kept me from being a son to my mother and father, a brother to my sisters and my brothers, and a father to my children. And one day, you know, I was thinking about this because, and I want to thank the committee for asking me, you know, and my sponsee for allowing me to be here. But I first and foremost want to thank God for the opportunity. You know, and I remember I was sitting in my chair. I had one of these easy chairs. And I was about 22 years old. And I think I know I had already passed that baton, and I was on my way here. And I remember sitting in that chair and saying to myself that all this stuff that I've been using, I can sell and make some money with it. Little did I know that I was going to become my best customer. You know, and I come out of one of those families where all of my role models were hustlers and gangsters. And, you know, my grandfather sold a lot of dope, but he wasn't a grandfather. He was just an existent, you know. My cousins sold a lot of dope. They weren't my cousins. They were just existent. And I sold a lot of dope. I wasn't the man that I thought I was. I was just existing. And I remember sitting there that day and telling myself that I was going to turn my family around. And I remember later that evening turning over and telling my wife that I was going to move her and the kids to the suburbs. And I remember looking in my pocket. I had about $20 and 2 bags of dope. And she politely told me to go back to sleep because she thought that there was something wrong with me. You know, and I went on about my business, you know. And I did what I had to do. And I remember finally it was 1987. And I had my first introductory into these rooms, my first introduction into the rooms. And I got here, and I came in for all the wrong reasons, you know. And I remember what the guy told me, that I hadn't heard enough. I had not heard enough, and I could not understand. He told me to take the boxing gloves off. All I had to do was surrender. And I told him I was going to fight until the end. Had no clue, y'all. Not a clue. And about 3 months later, after my first treatment center, I used. And I would not advise anybody to use on this information. This is a powerful and sincere and deadly illness. And the literature says that that there is no cure for this disease. You know, I like to think of my disease as cunning, baffling, powerful, but I really believe that they left off the most important one, and that's patience. You know, that thing will wait for me at any time. And, you know, 11 plus years later, it still waits. You know, but I have a combatant to my disease. And that, folks, is y'all. You know. Y'all help me. You know. Whether I tell you or not, you help me each and every day. You know, I thought long and hard about what I was going to talk about as far as the storm. And, you know, I've had my share. I remember at 9 months in the Oxford House, I was the comptroller, so I controlled the money. And let me say, nothing had changed. Nothing. Hear me now. Nothing had changed. I stole money from the house. And for about a month, I looked behind. You know how when we practicing and we know somebody after us, and you know, like you got the man after you. And didn't know, you know, and I'm in this house and I'm getting the mail before they get the mail. You know, I'm doing all the same things that I was doing when I was using. And you know what? The president of the house got the mail one day. And they brought me up. Well, I'm not one of those guys that go to church on a regular basis, but before they brought me up, I went to church that Sunday. I'm talking about me now. I went to church and I prayed and I asked God if anything could he help me not get put out of this house. Well, Tuesday house meeting. Along come the other 14 that live with me. As a matter of fact, they were waiting when I got off work. I strolled up as if nothing was wrong. And they say court is in session. Well, folks, needless to say, I was no longer a member of the 19th Street Auction House. You know, that was my first storm in recovery. But you know what? I ain't you. I called some folks. They told me, Paul, the same man will use again. And they let me on my way. I called my sponsor and he told me, you know, he's got this thing about him where he just sort of, listen to me. Yeah. Okay. And then he's a real particular type guy, you know. And he told me, Paul, don't use. Is that all? Where I'ma stay? Don't use and keep coming back. You know, I had to find a sense of humor in here, you know, because when I got here, it wasn't nothing funny. Y'all had taken all of my joy from me. Y'all really had, you know. Using was everything that I had. You know, now I had the family, I had the car, all them old things that, you know. And I heard the lady last night talking about, and this is true, if I put anything before this, it'll disappear. I want to tell you, I know this will disappear. Ladies and gentlemen, December 6th. December 6, 1997. I've been going to meetings all day, in service, doing my thing. Because usually on Saturdays, that was my, you know, that was my MO. I would go to meetings, come home, spend a little time with the family, you know, or with my wife, or if the kids was there, my kids. You know, I come home and my wife called me. And prior to that, my oldest son, who was 24 at the time, had been sick and in the hospital. And she was concerned because she hadn't heard from him all day. December 6th. 1997. I showed up at home. The phone rang. My wife asked me, have you seen your son? I said, no. Well, I haven't talked to him, and I'm worried. I didn't think no more of it because it wasn't nothing for him to, you know, go to his grandmother's house or go hang out with his kid, with his buddies, you know, or with his brother, you know. So I went in the room and went to sleep. An hour later, she calls back. She says, Paul, I am concerned Michael is not home. I have not talked to him. I called your mother's house and he wasn't there. I say, well, he ain't here. Never thinking to go to his room. Now, mind you, his room was right next to mine. I checked his door. His door was locked, and it was nothing for his door to be locked. He didn't answer. So I went on back and laid down. My wife come home, and she's had this little key that opened the door. And she opened the door. And let me say, before she opened the door, there was a feeling that came over me. She opened the door. And my 24-year-old baby was sitting on the floor with the radio by his side, dead. She shrieked. I jumped up and ran in the room. And when I saw him sitting there, all I can remember is that there was a look of peace on his face. He had went home to his father. But God, you are not supposed to take our children. I was supposed to go first. My God don't work that way. You had 24 years with him. He belongs home with me now. I gave you 24 years with him. He belongs with me. And what you need to do is find some acceptance. Well, I'm here to report that it's 3.5 years later. I have gotten better with it. But that pain, there is still some pain there. I'm not going to stand up here and feed you no false stuff. I still hurt. My family still hurt. But I know that God did what he had to do. And I know that my 24-year-old son looks down and he's proud of his father today. Moving on. August of 1998, I was diagnosed with a kidney ailment. I was rushed to the hospital. They cut me open. They inserted a shunt in my arm. I'm currently on a dialysis machine 3 times a week, 4.5 hours a day. I still go to meetings. That's right. I still work the steps. I still pray. And I don't use. And that's why I know, Sam, without a shadow of a doubt, that tomorrow it'll be 12 years. Amen. let me just say that I came in here and things were basically just, now I work for everything that I got, but if you do what you're supposed to do in here, things would sort of just fall your way, you know. See, I know that the whipping was thorough and complete. It was complete. See, I told you that I used on the information. And that was the most miserable year and a half of my life. Now, when I got back here, y'all ain't have to do a whole lot of hollering at Paul. Paul was going to listen. Now, I brought some behaviors in here. You know, and I'm not perfect. God knows I'm not. But I practiced this program to the best of my ability. And in doing so, I've been able to walk through the storm. Now, let's talk about belief and trust. God told me, belief is one thing, but trusting is another. You know, I got some people in here that will vouch for mine. You know, because I've been trusting in this process. I really have. I've done the work and continue to do the work. This is not an intellectual exercise. I can talk real good and talk myself right out that door. But you know, trusting in the storm, I believe that you don't get no gains until you done had some trials in here. You know? And trust me, if you haven't went through something yet, it's coming. And he told me that God don't test me, I test me. Everything I did was my own choosing. Didn't nobody put that thing in my hand. Ain't nobody put a pistol in my hand. You know? Ain't nobody put that thing in my hand. Didn't nobody tell me I had to do certain things. And you know what? When it was all said and done, I had to look heaven for it. That's where it came from. And that's where I continue to go. You know? And I'm going to say this before I close. You know, my little brother came into this fellowship 2.5 years ago. I had been praying and asking. Well, I asked God to bring them all in, all my siblings. But he chose him. And I remember a couple of the conversations we would have, and he would say, I'm not ready yet. Well, looks to me like he's ready now, you know. And we walked through this thing together, you know. And let me just say this. Get yourself a buddy. Get yourself somebody that you can walk with or talk to, you know? Because I'm telling you, there's going to be a time when along 2-3 o'clock in the morning, you're going to need somebody. And you talking to a rock, to a doorknob, you know, or to a candle, or one of them things, they ain't going to answer. You know, God sent people to help people, you know. And that's what helped me through them storms. I walked off of a job last year. Walked off after 7.5 years. Because they ain't treat me right. Don't they know who I am? I done gave them 7.5 good years. They ain't care who I was. And you can go when you want to. Well, I'm here to report that a year later, I don't have that job. I got a better job. That's because I trust it. See, faith is a funny thing. I'm going to say this and I'm going to shut up. You know, to have faith is better than to not have faith. And if you don't believe me, just try this. Thanks for letting me sit.